Chapter 6. The Further Breaking of Bill. When I got back to the cave, Bill and the boy were nowhere to be found. I explored the area near the cave and risked a shout or two, but there was no response. So I lit my pipe and sat down on a grassy bank to wait. In about half an hour, I heard the bushes moving, and Bill wobbled out into the little open space in front of the cave. Behind him was the kid, stepping softly like a scout. He had a broad smile on his face. Bill stopped, took off his hat, and wiped his face with the back of his hand. The kid stopped about 8 feet behind him.
"Sam," said Bill, "I suppose you'll be upset, but I couldn't help it. I'm as manly as the next man, with habits of self-defense, but there is a time when all pride and power fail. The boy is gone. I've sent him home. All is off. There were people in old times," Bill went on, "that suffered death rather than give up what they enjoyed. None of them ever were subjected to such suffering as I have been. I tried to be faithful to our plan, but there came a limit."
"What's the trouble, Bill?" I asked him.
"That kid rode me," Bill said, "all the 90 miles to the stockade, not barring an inch. Then, when the settlers were saved, I was given grass to eat. Sand ain't a pleasant substitute. Then, for an hour, I had to try to explain to him why there was nothing in holes, how a road can run both ways, and what makes the grass green. I tell you, Sam, a man can only stand so much. I took him by the neck of his clothes and dragged him down the mountain. On the way, he kicked my legs black and blue. And look at this. I have 2 or 3 bites on my thumb and hand. They've got to be treated. But he's gone," continued Bill. "Gone home. I showed him the road to Summit and kicked him about 8 feet nearer there with one kick. I'm sorry we lost the ransom, but it was either that or Bill Driscoll gone crazy."
Bill was breathing hard. However, there was a look of deep peace and growing contentment on his rose-pink features. "Bill," I asked, "there isn't any heart disease in your family, is there?"
"No," Bill said. "Nothing serious except accidents. Why?"
"Then you might turn around," I said, "and have a look behind you." Bill turned and saw the boy. His face lost its color, and he sat down hard on the ground and began to pull aimlessly at grass and little sticks. For an hour, I was afraid for his mind. And then I told him that my scheme was to put the whole job through immediately, and that we would get the ransom and be off with it by midnight if old Dorset fell in with our proposition. So Bill steadied himself enough to give the kid a weak sort of smile. Then he even promised to play the Russian in a Japanese war with him as soon as he felt a little better.